This is Why I Settled in Tasmania.
The life stories about people from refugee backgrounds living and building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
Why I Settled in Tasmania.
This program is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation, CBF.
Hello, welcome to Why I Settled in Tasmania. I am Sonia Parra, and today we are with Anna Avaliani from the Republic of Georgia, who is living in Hobart, Tasmania.
Kamarjoba, mevar Anna Avaliani, Sakartvelodan. Good morning. I'm Anna Avaliani from Georgia. Sakartvelo aris patara khveqana. Chtiloetit aks Ruseti, samkhretit gvaqs Turketi. Შავი ზღვა, რომელიც ჩვენ დასავლეთით გვაქვს და აღმოსავლეთით აზერბაიჯანი. საქართველო არის ძალიან პატარა, მაგრამ არის შუა აზიასა და ევროპას შორის. Georgia is tiny country in Caucasus region and it's right. Between Euro-Asia. So it's right. Like a bridge that connects Europe to Asia. So in the middle, we are in the middle of Russia and Turkey. So in north, we have Russia. Right. We have the Caucasus Mountains, the gorge, which is always wide. We have a glaciers there.
Right.
Beautiful. So all year around, you can go skiing. It's very popular sport there. And we have, Azerbaijan and Turkey.
Right.
To the west, we have Black Sea. So if you go to Georgia, you can go to the beach, relax, have we have sandy beach and we have rocky beach. So you can choose both of them. And to the east, we have Azerbaijan. It's like southeast, but it covers all the east and south part, half of the south. So it's small because in square meters, Georgia is just 6,900 square kilometers, and the population is just 3.5 million people. So we are not
all right.
Very small.
It's smaller than Tasmania, right?
Yes, it is smaller than Tasmania, and I think population is so few. But Georgians, with our identity, with our language, with our culture, we try to keep ourselves as we are, unique, and continue and give to our next generations the same traditions and same values that we have now. And it has been centuries and centuries that we keep doing this, because Georgia has been, as a country, in that place, in that region, like centuries, because first history, in the historic writings, first time that Georgia appears is sixth century before Christ.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah, it's quite old. So, but we keep doing it, and we try to get new, modern things, but not to lose our authentic old stuff.
And culture. That means that also Georgiano, we call the language?
Yeah.
Yes, Georgiano, the mother language.
This is a big subject, because Georgia itself, the name, there are a few theories why it's called Georgia. Because Georgia comes from Persian word gurj.
Right.
Gurj means wolf in Persian. So they were calling Georgia land of wolves.
Right.
And one of the first kings of Georgia, he had on his armor, on the top, he had the face of the wolf. So they were calling us wolves. So they were very good warriors. They were brave people. So it's land of wolves. The other theory is that in Greek, geo means land. So Georgia is like people who till the land. And the other one is that Georgia is George, because of Saint George, because it's Georgia's favorite saint.
Right.
So that's why it's Georgia. So there are plenty of theories, so we can choose any of them.
Where the, the names come from.
Yeah. And but Georgia, in Georgian, is different name. It's Sakartvelo. So it's land of Kartvelians. So Kartli is the central region of Georgia.
Right.
So Sakartvelo means land of Kartvelians, so where Kartvelians live.
Right.
So, and yeah, if you ask Russians, they will tell you that Georgia's name is Gruzia. If you ask Turkish or Persians or any Arabic countries, they will tell you Gurdistan, probably. So
Gurdistan.
Yeah, oh Gorgi. Still goodness. They use the gorgeous wolf-related words. It's how it is really different. Georgia, when you say the first time, it thinks that it's the state of United States. And then right. I have to explain myself that, no, Georgia, Republic of Georgia, that is in Eurasia, and then everyone understands what they're talking about.
Okay, Anita, I call Anita little Anna. What is this kind of memories that you get, or the best memories that you had from your childhood in Georgia?
Yeah, childhood, it was quite hard times for Georgia. When I was 5 years old, the Soviet Union collapsed. Before that was the revolution, so Georgia was one of the not the first one, but one of the first ones who separated from Soviet Union.
All right.
And yeah, because of this revolution, we had people that died during this period. And 9 of April was the very important day for Georgia because people were killed, like peaceful people who were on the demonstration. They were killed by Russian militaries. And right. It's very 9 of April since then until now. It's the holiday and it's very important. Still, it's modern, but it's our history.
Yes,
and
of course.
It stays in our hearts as a very, like, it made a click to change. And since that day, we decided, no, this is not what we want to be. And we want to be separated and we want to go back and be the country, Georgia, that we are, this nice and peaceful and full of culture country. So, yeah, and being that, before it was revolution, and during Soviet time, probably it was not, the people had food. It was not a problem. Food and clothes and where you live was not a problem. But the freedom was the problem. So we could not watch movies or we could not have access to any music from abroad. But there were, and the books, I remember my father printing or reprinting books to hand
really?
Over. Yeah, to spread them.
From Europe.
The voice,
oh,
yes.
Another part of the world.
I still have a big of the Jack London. It was nothing that it was revolutionary or something. Anything from abroad was like taboo.
Right.
So you
yes.
could not bring it in. And it was like Beatles or Led Zeppelin, anything that music, and they were trying, like young people, like my father was also part of these people, that they were trying to spread the voice that it's not just our anthem and our Soviet Union, just common, the kolkhoz and just working and nothing, doing nothing else. There is other things that we can explore and there is
a
way to think. So I remember that part and my father being really enthusiastic and active in that. It was dangerous, but I think because Georgia was a bit farther, so they could not control us so much.
All
that's
these
why we
countries,
could,
yes,
yes. And that's why we could, there was a revolution and that's why we like break free.
Right.
That's because the other countries that were more closer to Moscow, to Russia, they were more kept like inside their control. So, and then I remember after revolution was also civil war because there were parties inside Georgia that they were trying to get. So, and it started the civil war. There was nothing in the shops. You could not buy anything. You were getting just a like voucher that you could get 400 grams of bread daily. that was for the family. So we were like, remember, like counting the pieces of bread, how many slices you can have. So it was like really, I remember that also, having like sugar just 2 kilos per month.
Oh, so my goodness. Like,
yeah, I remember those times. But I don't know, because my parents were very, they thought that this thing, they can make it more like a game, not to scare us. It was like, oh, let's go and camping. And you know, when you're camping, you don't have all the commodities. So it was like, we are in this way because it's not that we don't have anything. It's like because we are in the nature and there is no how to make cakes and
exactly
stuff. So I remember that when I was small, I didn't really understand that there was this crisis and there was nothing in the country. But then I realized that it was not that we were just, it was the style of the life. It was because we didn't have any choice. It was that we had to live in that way.
Your father had a little bit distraction for the kids.
Yeah, that was, and also I remember, so we lived in Rustavi at that time. It's a small city and it has a big metallurgic factory.
Right.
So I remember Russian tanks moving to the city to get the factory. And I remember that my father was like, no, it's just the Red Cross moving around. They are bringing the food. And, okay. But it was really like positive, that, not to scare us and tell us that, no, it's just people.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So I remember that too. And then also because we had grandparents who had the farmhouse, we were lucky enough to have something to work on and have. Because there were people that they were just city people and they didn't have even chance to go and harvest or work on the land or have chicken or have pigs or cows and that could be their food. But no. And in that case, I'm really thankful that my grandparents kept the house. They lived there.
Yes,
and they
of
were
course.
Yes, and we always had somewhere to go and stay
and even
there
to
and
eat.
Relax and eat something because
yes.
I know people like months and months that they could not have meat or chicken or fish or something more protein. I was lucky to have parents like that, so they make everything more to
relax.
Watching the pink glasses. That's what the pink glasses. Being in my grandparents' house was a big celebration every day. It was a big, it was not like feast or anything, but every day my grandpa would take us and tell, can you see this wine? This wine already has 20 years. We have to celebrate the birthday of this wine or something.
My goodness.
And he really loved his crops and his field and his cows. And he had cows. And I don't remember him any time kill any of his animals. It was like farm animals, but he wasn't able to kill them. And then, so it was really nice.
Why I Settled in Tasmania.
You are listening to Hobart FM and the life stories of people who are building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
Georgia is a country in the Caucasus region, situated at the junction of Western Asia and Eastern Europe. It is bounded to the west by the Black Sea, to the north by Russia, to the south by Turkey and Armenia, and to the east by Azerbaijan. One of the most independent-minded republics, Georgia declared sovereignty on November the 19th, 1989, and independence on April 9th, 1991.
We were at school in the city, so we had to go back, and during the school year we were in the city studying, and it was one of the best schools. Schools in Georgia, they are quite well structured.
Right.
Because they give you science and maths and physics and everything, but what I loved the most there is they teach you at least 3 or 4 languages. At the end of the school, you know English, Russian, German, and then the last 2 years you can choose between French, Spanish, or Italian, so it's like if you are good and interested in languages, you can keep up and learn so many of them.
How many languages do you speak?
I speak Georgian, English, Russian, and Spanish.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And your Russian come from this school?
My Russian came from school, but also before Georgia got its own television and radio.
Right.
Everything still was in Russian. So if you wanted to watch anything, a movie, cartoon or anything, it was in
Even
Russian.
Even the news, I suppose.
So, and news too. So everything. So
all right.
And kids, you know, they like to watch TV and cartoons and movies. And so only way that you could watch your favorite show, it was in Russian. So yeah, I learned in Russian as a kid.
Okay.
And then at school, they teach you more like grammar, writing, reading, and...
What a wonderful, oh my goodness. So after that, with the independence, Georgia got their own national radio stations and TV.
It became just in Georgian. Now everything is in Georgian. We have 4 national TVs and many radios, and it's really exploring, and they are quite good. I remember one time when we were still in Soviet Union, they wanted to put Russian as the main language in schools.
All right, of
but
course.
We did not let them to do that. So we
always,
even during Tsar time, when we were part of Russia during Romanov's Tsars, and after in the Soviet Union, always we kept the language as it is, because language is one of the main identities for us. So if you speak Georgian, you are Georgian. Because there are so few people, and the Georgian is such a difficult language.
It's so, and the alphabet.
And the alphabet, yes. Yeah, it's like if you speak Georgian, you are some Georgian, my man. So you are special to Georgians.
Okay. In your case, Georgian is your mother's language. Russian will be the second one that you learned in school. And English.
English came in because to explore new things. English I needed, for example, when I was listening to music that was prohibited. It was in English. And when... I wanted to watch something or read something, it was English. But also at school, they teach you English. So I already had the basics from school.
Right.
But then I started working and watching movies just in English. I started reading and everything. So it was English became my next second language, because Russian was more going away.
Right.
So if it was something Russian, like Dostoevsky, I would read in Russian. But if it was something written in English, I would not read it in Russian anymore. I would read it in English.
So, okay.
And then when my brain like, yes, English is good. The translated books are not so good. you always lose something when the book is translated.
Exactly.
Better to read it in original. So that's how came English. And then the next one was Spanish.
Right.
Which it's like last few... years that I speak Spanish,
right?
And it's because I met wonderful men when I went to USA in Idaho University. Part of my master's, and he was from Ecuador, is a Spanish-speaking country. He started sending me music, some poems in Spanish, and I really loved it. I did not understand anything, but it sounds so nice. That make me to feel like, oh, this is so good. It must be something nice that he's telling me. It was something nice, but I didn't know that moment. I met him in Idaho University, and then I went back to Georgia, and then he followed me in Georgia, and he was there in 2008.
Right.
He was there, and suddenly we had this another small... 5-day war with Russia it was with South Ossetia.
Russia.
So my family was like, oh my God, now what we are going to do? We have a the guest, and he's so important, and oh my God, they wanted to protect him as much as they could, and yeah, but he was so brave, and he even wanted to go with my cousin. Yes, if he goes, I will also go to protect all of you. And it's like he passed the exam of my family. Oh, he's so serious, and he wants to protect you so much that he really loves you. So there was no questioning there left. Oh. So after that, we got married. We got married, and then we lived in Georgia for 7 years.
All right.
Yeah, he worked in WWF. Caucasus.
Yes.
And then my son Luca was born in Georgia. And when he was already almost 2 years old, we also wanted to go and explore Ecuador, try there. So Luca also knows his grandparents, has different experience, language, so, different culture. So we went to Ecuador.
To live there?
The idea
or just
was
to visit the family.
To try.
All right.
If everything was good and we could find good job and Luca liked it and it worked, we would stay there. But when we arrived to Ecuador, Ecuador was in very bad economic crisis.
Right.
Everything was upside down and not so good. So
it was more or less what
after
year?
It was 2015.
All right.
After that, we stayed there 2 years. But during that time, he was still working. He published his article in macroecology. And after that, he still wanted to do something else. And he found a PhD scholarship here in Australia. But the thing is that he had two offers. One from Adelaide University and one from Tasmania University.
Why I Settled in Tasmania.
You are listening to Hobart FM and the life stories of people who are building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
And what did we decide to come to Tasmania?
I don't know, it was just lucky guess, but we are really lucky that we chose Tasmania. It's really, I think because we thought that, oh, it's island, it's smaller, and we have a key that will be more family-based and smaller neighborhood. And
right.
So we went, just guess. And yeah, it was a good guess, I think.
Oh, this is a long way, but I want to go a little bit back to Georgia. What did you study in Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Pure biology.
Ah,
so I'm
right.
A biologist. And then I did my master's in ecology and conservation biology. And my module was genetics. So for the genetics part, I went to Idaho University.
Right.
And then in Georgia, I worked at the pharmaceutical company as a geneticist and microbiologist.
Right.
So I love working in the lab. So it was really exciting because I learned new things, more bacteria, fungus, viruses, and it was microbiological quality control laboratory.
Right.
So it was 4 years that I worked there, and they still are calling me and, you are not thinking to come back. We will always welcome you here. And you know that any time that you come back, our doors are open for you. So they still think that I'm going back to work in their lab.
Well, you never know.
I don't know. You never know. Yeah, that's right.
And how was this process and experience as a Georgian girl to move to a very different country, I suppose, from Georgia?
Yes, and it was my first time flying and far away. But it was really good experience because Idaho University is in the small city. It's called Moscow,
yes.
Moscow. And it's a small city. It's not that like megapolis that everything goes
right.
Like, usually in United States, if you don't have car, you cannot move around and you cannot do anything.
Exactly.
But in Idaho, it was not like that because I was walking from home to the university, and it was fun. It was really welcoming, a nice place to be there, and I learned a lot. My professor, my supervisor, was Kurt Anderson, and he was such a nice man. He let his students sometimes to live in his house, so I did not need to be just by myself all alone. So he welcomed me in his house.
Yes. Because it's very cold in winter.
Yes, when I arrived, it was 20 centimeters snow. I think it's colder than Georgia. Maybe in the mountains of Georgia, it's colder.
Right.
But because I mainly lived in the capital, which is not so high, it's like...
Exactly.
Yeah, so we get like 1 week of snow in the capital of Georgia. But the rest is just rain or just cloudy during the winter. But in the mountains, since November till end of April, you have white, everything is white, covered with snow. So, yeah, there is a big difference in Georgia. That also makes Georgia a good place to visit, because you can explore different things. Like mountains, we have semi-tropical forest
in
the west coast, close to the Black Sea. And then we have the arid zone, which is like desert on the east side of Georgia. So, yeah.
Oh, in a very small country, all this.
Yeah.
The Georgian language, Kartuliana, is the official language of the Republic of Georgia. The spoken form has many dialects, which are usually divided into East Georgian and West Georgian. The Kartuli language is distinguished by its uniqueness and isolation from other languages, with a difficult verb system. Georgians are proud of their nation. It is considered to be one of the most friendly countries, where people are very enthusiastic about their wine and cuisine. In 2017, the International Crime Index rated Georgia as the 7th safest country in the world. Georgia has a rich and still vibrant traditional music, which is primarily known as possibly the earliest polyphonic tradition of the Christian world.
In Moscow is when you married your husband.
I met him there,
right.
But we got married in Georgia. He came to Georgia.
And after that you went to Georgia, and then you went from Georgia
to Ecuador.
To Ecuador.
Yes.
And in Ecuador you really learned Spanish.
I learned Spanish in 2 years probably, because I cannot stay quiet, not speaking and socializing with people. So, and my mother-in-law did not know any English.
Right.
And many people that... were some Latin young moms that I met through Luca, but they speak some English, but they were more comfortable speaking in Spanish. And I knew that I would become part of the group easier if I speak the language, because it was already in my brain, listening music, reading something, listening my husband speaking with his parents, FaceTime. So it was already like ready, my brain was ready to start, and I learned.
So
I'm
when
happy.
You met with him in the first stage, we'll say, the
language
you were talking with him in
English. Still, it is English. So mainly we speak in English. If we are with our Latino friends and we speak Spanish, then when we come back home, it continues Spanish. But if it is something that we are at home and, or it's something more official like forms and filling up the stuff and paperwork,
right,
it goes English. But if it is more relaxed, more romantic, is Spanish. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And he learns a little bit of Georgian when he was living.
Yes, he understands everything. He knows how to write and read.
Oh, my goodness. Because I saw the alphabet. It's really hard.
Yes, it is hard. But he was really motivated, and he had 1 year to learn, because he went back to Ecuador. He needed to do his job in Galapagos Island before he was able to come back.
Right.
And that 1 year we were separated, but that year he used to learn Georgian.
All right.
Yeah, he cannot speak because it's really hard to pronounce things, but he can read and write, and he can understand.
What language do you speak with your son?
I speak in Georgian.
Right.
When we are outside and there are people around, I don't feel comfortable speaking with him in Georgian. It's just my thing. I think I should keep speaking in Georgian with him, but I think that maybe people, because they don't understand what I'm telling him, will feel like excluded.
Right.
But if we are outside playing or being on the playground and I want other kids also to be part of the game, I'm speaking with him in English, and my husband speaks in Spanish
with him.
With
okay.
him. So it's separated, like I'm Georgian and English and my husband is Spanish, but my son prefers to answer in English this year, because before he turned 5 he spoke in Georgian with me and in Spanish with Christian. But after he went to school, his main language that he can express himself better became English. So right. he's like, I understand you can speak with me Georgian or Spanish or English, but I will answer you in English. So, but that makes him less stressed, because I remembered sometimes there was something that he wanted to tell us and he was not able to express, neither in Georgian nor in Spanish.
Oh,
and
goodness.
He didn't know English, so he was like half Georgian, half Spanish, and then he was lost in all of this chaos, and it was hard, but now we found the way. But I know that if we go to Georgia or if we go to Ecuador, just 2 weeks and he will speak in
the language of
yeah.
the country. Ah,
yes,
yeah.
Because we don't stop speaking with him our native languages, so
all
he
right.
still hears Georgian every day and still he hears Spanish every day.
This is a good thing, so in any moment he can
yes
click
yes he can
and go for the other language. How was all the process to come to Australia?
It was really exciting, because when we were still in Georgia, Christian said that, oh, I would love one day to go and live in Australia. It was like in his very, very far away dreams, one day to
right.
go to Australia. And then when he got the scholarship for this PhD, he was really excited. And the process was a bit, it took like 3 months, but it was quite good. So
I'm very quick.
We fill out the forms. We went to the embassy. It was really fast, this process. And then we had to pack everything and once again move to new continent because from one continent, from Georgia, we went to Ecuador, and now from Ecuador we needed to go to somewhere else. But we decided to go through Georgia, so we visit my family.
Right.
And then Christian came first because we needed somewhere to arrive. So he came here to look for a house where to live. And it's not
right.
easy to do that. And I think it took him longer to find a house where we could come than to get the scholarship.
Right.
It was quite good. But we live in Blackmans Bay, and our neighborhood is the very nice, safe and welcoming neighborhood, so we were lucky in that we end up living there. And we did not get any closer to the uni, because he was just looking for the apartments closer to the university.
Right.
But we could not get any of them. Then we went farther away and we end up in Blackmans Bay, but it is nice to be there.
How long had been your living here in Tasmania?
It will be 3 years this December.
Oh, right.
In 2017.
How do you remember the day when you arrived to Tasmania?
Coming from Denmark, I stayed 1 month with my sister in Denmark, and it
right.
was really cold there. It was like before Christmas, white, cold, freezing Copenhagen. And then we came here and it was like, oh my God, it's so good to be here. And I did not think that moment that Tasmania was a bit cooler. I thought that, oh, it's so good. Then after 1 year, if you ask me, it was, oh, December has to be warmer than this. But that moment when I arrived, it was my very first experience of non-white Christmas.
Right.
It was warm, it was summer, and I was really confused. It was Christmas coming and it was summer here. But having a barbecue at the beach for Christmas was a big deal. It was good.
It was good. This is the other thing. The Christmas celebration here is a midday, in the nighttime.
Yes. Yes. And we are used to stay up to midnight and celebrate and stay almost all night up and open the presents and get excited. But here was different, and I was like, what? Why? But now I want to do it in the middle of the night. That's when it's really Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. But you get used to these small things, and still we celebrate the night before. And there is a big community, not Ecuadorians so much, but there are Colombians, the Latin people.
Right.
Colombians, Peruvians, from people from Salvador and Puerto Rico, and many, many, many Latin people. So we celebrate with them the traditional way the night before.
Right, the night before, on 24 night.
24.
Is any other person from Georgia living in Tasmania?
No, I'm the only one. We have a consulate in Canberra.
Right.
And if I remember well, so in whole Australia, there are just 12 Georgians.
12?
Including the consulate people. I can say hi to all of them. But we are really, 12 people is not much at all. But then when you think that we are just 3 million
and a half million, so
like, okay, we are okay. Yeah, that's why, because I cannot have my people from Georgia as a friends. But anyways, I'm really happy to be friends with Latinos and Latinas. So I met
and Australian
really
people
nice
too.
Friends. Yes. And also I met nice Tasmanian, Australian people.
Right.
And I have two really, really close friends, and I know that I will miss them very much. Yeah, they give me this beautiful English literature that I would not have access if I would not come here.
Right.
And they always give me suggestions that, now read this, now read that, and... Yeah, they are.
They
really
are
nice.
From Tasmania.
Yes,
right.
They are, and I met them through Lunch into Learning program. That when Luca started the program, I met moms there.
Right,
and then they became my friends, and we are there since then. And they are not just Luca's friends' moms.
Right,
they are first my friends. It's really nice, and then having friends like that, when you don't have family and friends,
are
here,
your family.
They become your family, yes. Yeah, and I know that I really can count on them, and they have been really helpful.
Why I settled in Tasmania.
You are listening to Hobart FM and the life stories of people who are building a new life in Tasmania.
Here on Hobart FM.
What is your level of educational achievement?
I have a master's degree.
Yes.
And I worked as a quality control microbiologist.
Right.
And now that I came here, it's really hard to find job. Being island, being small, Tasmania is a bit challenging in that aspect. But I was lucky to... volunteer at the Menzies Institute of Medical Research.
Right.
And sometimes some casual work, some volunteering, some casual work, some volunteering. So,
right.
And it's part of the Tasmanian Devil Research Group.
Right.
And they are, these people, the group itself is really, really exciting work what they do. And I know that Tasmanian devils will be okay and saved, because I know that the 80% of Tasmanian devils are gone because of the facial tumor diseases.
Right.
And it's like it decreased so fast in last decade that they really needed to get hands on it and somehow control it.
Right.
And this is the group that is really doing the great job of finding the vaccine. It's
right.
The immunotherapy approach, and they have really good results. So it's promising, the results that they got. So it will be great. We will see soon that the Tasmanian devils are not
right.
in the big danger like they were a few years ago. And I trust them, and I know that they will be fine.
But also this is a wonderful experience, work experience for
yes,
you.
Yes, this is wonderful experience. And I learned from the best of the best, because
right.
they are not just enthusiasts and they just want, they are professionals.
Right.
And also Menzies Institute of Medical Research has the resources that not many countries can give you. So even when I was in Idaho University, maybe it was a bit like 10 years ago, but anyways, here you see so many new methods and new equipment that are novel. All of them are novelties, and the laboratories are equipped with the new and best things. So you get this experience, and this was the my life chance to get this working experience and to be with the nice people and not to be stressed about
right.
working with them, but also to get the experience and learn new methods and be involved in the exciting research like this.
Yeah,
I love being here because I feel like I'm doing something nice also for Tasmania.
Madeliches, Joavichu, Nalitz Hens, Hemi Sims, Simigu, Tremen Alex, Parichamals, Beditams, Okrotuals, Karigems, Sutsulis, Swebs. Setchelim zes pesuitsas azrigzas sodna ers arsidros khelikhel Janikus, Zerashos, Ikatstos, Bardenis, Tes, Ikatstuims, Ikatstos, Ikatstos. Thank you.
Did you have any not very good experience in your first time here in Tasmania?
No, I have not had any bad experience here. Also, a part of you, I don't expect too much. And when you don't expect too much, what you get, it's good right. for you.
Exactly.
So, when I came, I knew that it's new country. So I did not expect that all my neighbors would come and bring me dinner and lunch every day, because that's what would happen in my country. But I knew that this is new country. I need to get know people. They need to know that I'm a safe person and I'm a nice person to them. And when they know me, then I can become friends with them, and then I can have a relationship. It's not that you just go and then expect from everyone to be there, like you were always there. So you need to build up your relationships and
exactly.
your friends and your society around you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
How satisfied are you with living in Tasmania?
Because it's hard to find a job.
Right.
And the PhD salary, with just PhD salary, it's a bit tight to live, but you can live.
You mean with your husband?
Yes, my
salary.
Husband's
okay.
salary.
Okay.
We still are able to do some things, like go for trips, go
right.
for to the museums, to the national parks. This is the great place that you can go and explore nature and find. And it's very accessible.
Right.
So since we were able to get the car, we are able to reach everywhere, and we are
right.
able to just camp and, yeah, you can stay there and you can explore, and you don't need to go in the five-star hotel.
Exactly.
To have
and especially not in Tasmania.
And especially not in Tasmania. So we were lucky that we came here, because with the PhD salary, we have more than enough to live here.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bit hard when you have family, because the expenses go higher in that aspect.
Right.
But yeah, for just one person with the PhD salary, that will be a great place to come.
All right. Yeah. How had it been to settle in Tasmania?
Yes, it was. I think in few months I already felt like, oh, this is nice place. I can walk around, and I started feeling like, oh, this feel. I think it's a safety that matters the most.
Right.
Because when I was in Ecuador, it stressed me so much that you cannot go outside without this, and you have to close the door. And here we never close the door.
Right.
It's like, okay, that can be. And car, we park just there and we don't lock the car. And that gives you like, and the people that you meet in your neighborhood, they say hi to you, and they become familiar faces, and you just go and you know that this is okay. I can be here and I can build my relationships and my friends here, and then you feel like yeah it is good. So I think in few months we were already settled, and as soon as Luca started school, our group of friends became a bit more broad, because
bigger.
We started with the university people, so
first
right. people were the university people, Christian's friends, then was Luca's friends, and then our Latina friends. So Latinos that we became part of that community.
So you now had a big
yes
relationship.
That's what Christian tells me, that it's impossible to go out with me, because everywhere I find someone who I know, and then I stay there chatting with them. So instead of taking 20 minutes to walk to the destination, with me, it will take him 1 hour and a half, because at least I will meet five people in the way. So
oh.
this is just his opinion.
That means that you are a very social person.
Oh, thank you.
What is the plan of the family for the future?
I I would love to live in the place like Tasmania if it was my country. So if it was not so far away from my family, my country, my culture, my people.
Right.
This would be a very nice place to live. But it's really far away from anywhere and everywhere. Because we are far away from my family. We are far away from Christian family. So we are like very at the end of the world.
Right.
So very at the very end. So, and it's hard to travel. Overall now with this COVID and pandemic and everything, who knows when we will be able to go and visit our country. So it becomes a bit hard to think, and my hopes are to go somewhere in Europe close to my country and
your family,
my family.
Right.
And I know that also maybe as for my profession, it will be much easier to find job to grow as a professional there more than here. So that also has probably one of the reasons that I don't see myself here is that I could not 100% do what I would like to do.
Is there anything that Tasmania or the Tasmanian government could do to encourage the people to come to live in Tasmania?
I know. For example, when my sister went to Sweden, she also went with the scholarship, PhD scholarship there.
Right.
And I know that the university helps the family that comes with the PhD student to find jobs, to get a discount in the daycare and to the doctor. So it's some commodities that it's not just the student, but the family also does matter. So to make the students less worried and more concentrated on their work and their study, their research, they facilitate those things for the family members.
Right.
So they give you free language course. So that also is a big deal because for me, English was not a big struggle. But I know the people who come and they don't speak English at all. And it becomes a big obstacle for them. So if they could give the wives or husbands, significant others, to access the free English course, it could be not like 2 years course, something basic so they can start communicating with
them. Right.
That will be a big, big help.
Right.
Yes. And also to help them to find some kind of job. It can be that it's not your profession that 100% you will find something, but something that you can help your family and you can provide and be there for your partner. And he's not worried about the economic aspect and he's more concentrated on his research and he's 100% university student, not other things.
Right. What is your advice for people who are arriving now in Tasmania?
My advice will be that they can come and they have to open their heart and they have to open their mind to any possibilities. It's not that I'm coming here and just I'm limited that I will live close to the university and I cannot go somewhere else. No, you have to be more open-minded to try to think that, okay, if I do this, maybe I can do that. And if I cannot find job in this, maybe I can try this. And like, I would advise them to relax, to enjoy the beauty of Tasmania.
Right.
And when they are relaxed and their mind is all relaxed and peaceful, then to try to think what they can do.
Right.
And it's not to limit themselves just with the things that they thought that they can do. Like not my profession, that I was a teacher in my country. So when I go there, I cannot do anything because I cannot be teacher there.
Wrong.
No, don't think that. Just think that, okay, what I was teaching in my country, this and this. Okay, can I use this knowledge in something else? Where I can start working, or can I start volunteering first and then become something else? So always try to think positive and try to become part of the society.
Right.
And they will, I know that they will welcome you and they will appreciate the knowledge that you bring, because always new people,
right,
new view. So they bring the new style of life, and also they see things differently than the locals. And
right.
The locals think so. This exchange of the how we see the world is really important.
Important.
And it's important to keep this dialogue.
Right.
So we don't stay just, I came here and I'm just going to be friends with this person that is from my country. No,
right.
Just go out and be friends with Australians, be friends with
people from anywhere.
So, and you will see that different people give you different view, and you will see the world differently, and it will make life easier.
What is your favorite place in Tasmania?
Russell Falls.
Ah, Russell Falls.
Yes, I love falls. Any kind of waterfall is really exciting for me.
Right.
And yeah, Russell Falls is one of the places that gives me the peace, the smell, the moisture and everything is
right.
So beautiful, and the scenery is so nice, and you can just go and get lost in the forest and just be yourself. Yeah, I love that place. I like the wine glass bay, but it's
right.
More like go with friends, have fun, go to the beach and play there and get barbecue and camping. But this is more like my thing, so I can go
right.
there and relax and get my time. So I love Russell Falls.
Would you like just to say something else in Georgian or Russian or any other language?
Madloba. Ძალიან დიდი მადლობა, სონია, ჩემი მოწვევისთვის. Მინდა ყველას მივესალმო. საქართველო არის პატარა-პატარა ქვეყანა, მაგრამ დიდი გული გვაქვს ჩვენ და გვინდა ყველას გავაცნოთ ჩვენი ქვეყანა და
In English?
Para my Latin friends, les quiero mucho. Les quiero desear todo, todo lo bueno. Ellos me hicieron sentir bien acá, from Georgia. This is tiny country, but we have a big heart. So if you go there once, you will fall in love and you will go many, many times. So we would love to welcome you in Georgia.
Thank you very much. How is thank you in Georgia?
Madloba.
Madloba, Danita.
Join us on Saturday the 12th of December for another fascinating story
from the Indian community.
Here on Hobart FM.